Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's David Noble and George Blackard filling in here for Aaron Flint on Freedom Friday. George, thanks so much for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's a great day.
Hey, we were just talking last hour about sort of theories about how on earth could anybody vote for Kamala Harris or John Tester when their policies are so obviously destroying the country. I had some theories, and I think it was an interesting topic because it generated a couple of phone calls. And by the way, call in 406-294-0970. We will take your call. But I was curious, kind of, what do you think is driving people voting for them?
So people are largely influenced by what they see on television or hear on the radio. And so a lot of people don't take the time to determine or decipher what is truth and what is not. And so when you see somebody like John Tester get on TV, do an ad that's full of lies, well, if you take it at face value, then you think, well, that's not a bad person. I would vote for that guy because he believes in what I believe. But if you take a few minutes and go just research his voting record and his track record, then you know he's lying to you on television. And so that's the problem. People don't take the time to do the research and get to the real truth.
I think that's right. And I think it's understandable for a lot of people. I mean, we've all got careers. We've got families. We're all struggling to kind of barely even just get by. Most Americans live in paycheck to paycheck. I mean, it does take a sort of daily, sort of relentless pursuit of the truth, as Rush Limbaugh used to always describe it, you know?
Yeah, that's exactly right, and that's a great way of putting it. And, you know, I think also something that we really desperately need to get rid of, in my opinion, is are these PACs. Because you can have, say, John Tester there, and you can have a PAC run an attack ad on a decorated Navy SEAL that he's a candidate against, whom is a veteran, whom John Tester supposedly supports. But the PAC can say all the things that John can't, and then he can insulate himself from that and say, well, that wasn't me. I didn't say that. That's not my ad. Yet it's benefiting him.
Oh, isn't that the most hilarious fiction, that these PACs aren't coordinating with the official campaign?
It's right. It's ridiculous.
Obviously, they are. Hey, we got one of the great callers, Tim in Billings. Tim, thanks for calling.
What, gentlemen? Happy Freedom Friday to two of my favorite guys out there.
Thank you. Same to you.
So, unfortunately, I think John Tester has proven over the last 18 years he's smarter than most Montana voters. And I would love to be proved wrong in November, but he's done it time and time and time again. He goes to Washington. He's in the pocket of Chuck Schumer or whoever happens to be the Senate leader for the Democrats at the time. You know, he's in the pocket of the DNC at the national level. He's in the pocket of the most liberal organizations in the country, in the world. And then he comes back here, and he puts on a dirty old Carhartt. He stretches it like a hide over a drum.
Hey, Tim, can you hang with us? Tim, can you hang with us? We're up against the break. Sorry I took you there. We'll be right back.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Like politics, hockey is a contact sport, so it's only appropriate that hockey instructs us on a unique opportunity for Democrats with President Biden dropping out. In hockey, there's something called last change. The visiting team always puts its skaters on the ice first before each face-off. That gives the home team a slight advantage. They get to see which line the visitors run out onto the ice. The home team then chooses which players it wants to create the most favorable matchup. Because they are the incumbent party and their party convention comes second, Democrats have last change. The GOP has gone with former President Trump and Republican Ohio Senator J.D. Vance. But the Democrats now have an opportunity to put whoever they think matches up best. It could be Vice President Harris. It could be someone else. And that's to say nothing of a possible running mate. Any combination. It's unclear if Democrats might take advantage of this opportunity, but with their convention still a month away, they have last change. Republicans are set, but Democrats still have some time to eye the ice and put out their best matchup. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. With some hazy sunshine across the area for today. An isolated storm is possible mainly west towards the Bozeman area. Otherwise, high temperatures ranging from 86 in Bozeman to 90 in Billings. For tonight, clear to partly cloudy skies. Mid-50s in Bozeman, 63 in Billings. There was some hazy sunshine Saturday. High stay in the upper 80s to low 90s. That's a look at your real weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Hey, coming up on Friday's Montana Talks, I'm going to be posted up at the Meadow Lake Golf Course in Columbia Falls just for the early morning hours. I'll be doing some recorded interviews for some of the folks that are in the Flathead for the Governor's Cup Golf Tournament. Meantime, David Noble is going to be filling in back in the studios, taking your phone calls, giving his great insight, and much more. And then on Monday, I'll be back in studio with some highlights from the Governor's Cup. Montana Talks, statewide, 9 to 10 right here.
Bullet points.
I'm Evan Brown. It's been 10 days since a would-be assassin nearly killed former President Donald Trump at a Pennsylvania rally, and in the process killed one rally attendee and wounded two others. And when U.S. Secret Service Director Kimberly Cheadle sat through a congressional grilling on Monday, failing to answer questions on agents' readiness and when agents noticed the gunman, certain members of Congress took the opportunity to criticize the firearm used to try killing a president. Maryland Democratic Congressman Jamie Raskin.
We have to find the courage and resolve to pass a ban on the AR-15 and other assault weapons.
The gunman used a semi-automatic rifle, but it should be known that someone shooting even a bolt-action hunting rifle, like a .30-06, would have been able to make that shot. That suggests the firearm used may not really have been a cause. And those are your bullet points. I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
We're talking to Tim in Billings. Tim, sorry I had to cut you off for that break.
That's all right. Got to pay the bills. Got to pay the bills. Tester comes back here and he brushes some pomade through his flat top and he stretches on that Carhartt and he gets the loader to hoist his butt up into the tractor so they can get a picture of him driving with the cloud of dust behind him. And people in Montana fawn over that. Oh, my gosh, he's one of us. He's one of us. And then he goes back to Washington, and he laughs at us, and he laughs at us, and he says, what a bunch of idiots. And that's what he does, what he's done for the last 18 years. It's, unfortunately, he's got so much money behind him, and people in Montana are so unconcerned with politics because they don't want to be political. They don't care about politics until politics are ruining their lives. So I would love for Tim Sheehy to unseat him. I think it's an uphill battle because I think Tester is the absolute worst. One other thing I'd like to bring up, you know, we've been being told for the last 3-4 years that we need to trust the experts. Trust the experts, right? The experts are the ones that let Donald Trump get shot in the ear 2 weekends ago. Those are the experts. Our government is overrun and completely filled with people who are incapable, incompetent, and unable to do their jobs. But because they have a title and because we have this blind faith in our government, we think that everything's okay. Our government is in shambles, and it's time for an overhaul.
Amen. Amen, Tim. Great call. Thank you so much. Your call made me think about something, which is that if he's right, George, if Tim is right, that John Tester has won all of these elections by lying to the people of Montana, then it must be that John Tester does not respect the Montana voter. Because if you can lie to somebody and convince them to do something that's sort of obviously based on a fraudulent sort of lie, how could you ever have respect for that person or that vote? And then isn't that pretty dangerous to have a U.S. senator that doesn't respect the voters of Montana?
Well, that's so many of the senators. But here's the thing, too. Sometimes it's not an outright blatant lie, so to speak, as much as it is the last campaign that he barely won by the skin of his teeth. He had this commercial that talked about his 13 bills that he passed while he was in Congress. Well, those weren't his bills. He didn't write those bills. He signed on as a co-sponsor of the bill, but he takes credit for that, and it seems like he wrote the bills because of the way he says it, right? My bill. Well, that's not true. But you would only know that if you went and read and looked up those bills to see who actually authored the bill and who was just a co-sponsor of the bill. And so, yeah, there's a gray area that they love to swim in, and that's how they get away with that a lot of times. But I also believe that he does blatantly lie about some things. I do believe that.
The other comment he had made was about the incompetence of these federal employees, and particularly the Secret Service. And then I don't know if you had heard the Sam Faddis interview that Aaron Flint did with the former CIA guy. And he was like, yeah, folks, you need to recognize it is possible that they are that incompetent.
Oh, sure. And here's the thing that gets me about those alphabet agencies that we're having so much trouble with right now. So the leadership at the top is let's just call it a mess in each of those. And we see one that's resigning now. Christopher Wray should resign as well. He shouldn't be there. But Aaron keeps talking about the agents, but the agents are good. The agents are good. Well, they're not all good. They can't be, right? And so you have upper management in these organizations that really they need to clean house and get some people in there that aren't corrupted by the current leadership there. But my question too is, now why aren't other good agents blowing the whistle on the bad agents? Well, one reason is you see when you had one whistleblower, Christopher Wray tried to make that person's life miserable. Talk about retaliation. You know, that's what happens. So you have a lot of good agents that probably aren't saying anything because, well, it's going to end their career. But it's a lot like Dan Bongino. Dan Bongino was up there in the Secret Service. He did all this. He quit because he saw what was going on, and he said, I can't be a part of this. You know, and I'm sure he's much better off now. He's got a syndicated radio show making tons of money. But that's why he started doing that, because he quit his job. He said, I cannot be a part of this.
Right. Good for him. And most people just can't because they've got a family to take care of and everything else like that. But I think you're absolutely right about that. And conservatives self-censor themselves all the time, whether it's a conservative FBI agent that recognizes some wrongdoing, but he really can't say anything because he's going to lose his job. Well, similarly, people that work in the private sector, if you're at a big corporation and they're forcing you to go through, you know, DEI training or subconscious bias, unconscious bias training, all this other stuff, if you speak up and say this is horrible, then they will come after you and they attack you. And frankly, a lot of people respect me and you for coming on the radio and telling our views, because we're also taking a big risk by doing this, because
the
Democrats would love to destroy your life and destroy my life.
Yeah, the word self-censor and me just don't. they don't coexist.
I made the same decision a long time ago that I wasn't going to do that. And if the consequences were severe, then at least I would have my own dignity and self-respect.
Well, there's a lot to be said for that. Absolutely. And just think about it. If more people stood up for what was right and just, then the world would be a different place. But instead, you know, and I get it, it's hard to take that punishment. But instead, they sit back, they're quiet, they let things happen, and now look where we're at.
I know George Blacker's got a couple of stories here, a bunch of military stories here happening recently that we're going to get to. I also had another comment to make about these federal employees. They're still not in the office in D.C.
Military matters.
In his fourth address to Congress, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu made the case for the White House not to withhold weapons to Israel again over concerns about the number of civilian casualties in Gaza.
In World War II, as Britain fought on the front lines of civilization, Winston Churchill appealed to Americans with these famous words, "Give us the tools and we'll finish the job." Today, as Israel fights on the front line of civilization, I too appeal to America. Give us the tools faster, and we'll finish the job faster.
The Israeli Prime Minister, who is very unpopular at home, used his speech to describe the axis of evil led by Iran.
Iran understands that to truly challenge America, it must first conquer the Middle East. And for this, it uses its many proxies, including the Houthis, Hezbollah, and Hamas. For Iran, Israel is first, America is next.
For Military Matters at the Pentagon, Jennifer Griffin, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. With some hazy sunshine across the area for today. An isolated storm is possible mainly west towards the Bozeman area. Otherwise, high temperatures ranging from 86 in Bozeman to 90 in Billings. For tonight, clear to partly cloudy skies. Mid-50s in Bozeman, 63 in Billings. There was some hazy sunshine Saturday. High staying in the upper 80s to low 90s. That's a look at your real weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Fromm.
Hey, Dad. Your prescription will be ready in just a minute. Hey, Dad. Your laundry will be ready in just a minute. Dad, your lunch will be ready in just a minute.
Hey, honey. Why don't you take a minute? When you help care for a loved one, you give them as much time as you can, making sure they're safe and comfortable. But it's just as important that you take some time for yourself. At AARP, we can help with information and useful tips on how you can maintain a healthy life balance, care for your own physical and mental well-being, and manage the challenges of caring for a loved one. Because the better care you take of yourself, the better care you can provide for your loved one.
Thanks, Dad.
Thank you. You're there for them. We're here for you. Find free care guides to support you and your loved one at aarp.org/caregiving. That's aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordland.
The National Public Lands Council and National Cattlemen's Beef Association are applauding the House of Representatives for passing the Department of Interior Appropriations Act of 2025. The group say the bill protects the rights of land grazing permittees and reels in overreaching BLM regulations. It also addresses Endangered Species Act challenges, defends local communities against land grabs under the Antiquities Act, and recognizes the important role of ranchers, they say, which are America's original conservationists in the stewardship of the nation's public lands.
Join the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. NCBA is the oldest and largest national cattle industry organization working to defend your interests in Washington, D.C. And there are big benefits to being a member. You get news you can use in the National Cattlemen, email updates in the NCBA Beef Bulletin, plus big discounts only for NCBA members. Join by calling 866-233-3872 or online at ncba.org.
A district court judge in the state of Massachusetts has upheld Massachusetts' Q3 pork law, rejecting an industry-backed attempt to block its enforcement. The law, known as the Prevention of Farm Animal Cruelty Act, is banning the sale of pork from pigs kept in confined spaces. The decision's key points include the rejection of federal presumption. The judge dismissed arguments that the Federal Meat Inspection Act preempted the state law. I'm Lee Northland.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I know George Blackard's got some big stories to talk about, but this is Montana Talk. So let's go to Mike in Anaconda. Mike, thanks so much for calling.
Yeah, hello. So, yeah, I got a good question to ask the Democrats at the end of my little rant here, so make sure you'll let me ask that. But as far as policies go, I mean, you got open borders, you've got higher taxes, you've got boys and girls locker rooms, you've got... excuse me, I'm trying to work here. You just got a litany of bad things for the country. And my biggest question for any Democrat that wants to answer this question is, why is it the most bluest states like California, New York, Illinois are having a mass evacuation, you know, of people leaving their states? And why is it states like Montana and Texas and Florida are having a mass of people coming into their states? And the simple question, it's policy. It's regulation, Democrat policies and regulation. It's costing everybody too much money to live in that state. So it's just a pretty simple question there to, you know, to really, what's your brain tell you, and why would you vote for all this stuff? You know, the sexual reassignment of surgeries of our young children, the push of CRT and the DEI, and it, the list is just so overwhelmingly crazy. I mean, the Republican Party doesn't fight for our country, but they're not trying to destroy us. They're not trying to disarm us. You know, they're not bringing in 10,000 illegals every day and giving them jobs and free health care and free schooling. And it's just overwhelmingly not even close right now. The Democrat Party has walked off a cliff. Kamala Harris, if you look into her background, she's full-on communist. Her family's got many ties to China. Willie Brown, you know, her lover for 20 years, he's known as China's best friend in California, as Willie Brown, the ex-mayor of San Francisco. So it's just like, there's just no possible scenario of a half-minded guy with a half a brain that could vote Democrat right now. It's just insane to me, the stuff they're pushing. And the sad thing is, like, I live in Anaconda. There are a lot of Democrats that vote Democrat because their mommy and daddy did because of unions and all that. Well, I've looked into that, and the unions really don't do anything good for most people. I've talked to a lot of old union guys, and they're like, no, they screwed me in the end. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm back to searching for one good thing the Democrat Party does for this country. I can't find it,
right.
And I only could find 100 things that are bad. So I don't know how the hell people are voting Democrat right now.
Well, great rant. What a rant. What a call. Thank you, Mike and Anaconda. I appreciate it. I think we'll take any phone calls from any Democrats that want to answer his question. But George, I think that the Democrats would answer his question. And I think it's a good question because I do think that, you know, the states are sort of experiments in policies, and you can see different states that have different policies and they have different results and where people are moving. And that's all really, really important and a really, really compelling argument. But I think the Democrats would respond to that by saying, that's not happening. That's not true. People aren't leaving California. That's not true.
Right. Absolutely. Because they don't want to admit the truth to themselves. But here's another thing. Here's one reason why people vote that way. Is because they will tell you that the people coming across the border are humans and they need to be taken care of and we need to help them because the places that they come from are terrible and life there is horrible and we should give them benefits when they get here. We should take care of them. So it's a humanity type of thing, right? They say that about that. They also think, you know, well, we should forgive this student loan. We should do this. We should make life easier on everybody because it's not fair. It's not fair. And so that's the kind of mindset they have. So as long as they see that happening, then they don't care about the rest of the stuff and they're going to vote for it anyway. But see, when I look at something and I look at a bill, for instance, maybe it's a bill for veterans, but attached to that is a whole bunch of garbage. You know what? I'd vote against the bill. But if you do that, then your opponent says, he voted against a bill for veterans. Well, no, I voted against a bill that had a bunch of garbage in it that was bad for America and bad for the country. We will come back with something to help the veterans. But see, that's not how it works. Forevermore, right. You voted against veterans.
That's why they do these huge omnibus packages and these huge CRs that are, you know, 5,000 pages and they're disclosed, you know, an hour before the vote and all that stuff. Because then and I just saw something recently about how they're about to vote on another continuing resolution because funding for the government, we still haven't passed an actual budget or these appropriation bills or anything like that.
You know, as long as they cannot finish their work, then they have reason to be there, right? They have a purpose.
Right. All right. We are going to get to George Blackard's military-related stories and veteran-related stories right after this 60-second Fox News update.
I'm Chris Foster. Vice President Kamala Harris is thanking former President and First Lady Barack and Michelle Obama for their presidential endorsement.
Oh, my goodness. Michelle Brock, this means so much to me. I'm looking forward to doing this with the two of you.
A video of their call to her is released by the campaign. Former President Trump meets with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu today in Florida.
We're expecting his meeting with President Trump to last a couple hours, and that's just the start of his day. He's going to head to the convention center behind me for a Turning Point Action convention, then on to Nashville for a crypto conference, then on to St. Cloud, Minnesota, where he's going to talk to swing voters there.
Fox's Madison Allworth. The former president, meantime, is blasting FBI Director Christopher Wray for suggesting that his ear may have been hit by shrapnel, not a bullet, at a rally in Pennsylvania. A federal source tells Fox the FBI wants to schedule an interview as standard practice. America's listening to Fox News.
Okay, George Blackard in the house here on Freedom Friday. I'm David Noble. That's Noble with a K. I'm an attorney here in Billings. You can find me online at LectureFan, LCTRFAN. I've been trying to get George Blackard on Twitter / X, I guess, for a while, but he's still not on there.
Well, I've been on there 5 times, and they throw me off every time. So,
that means you're a good one. That means you're a good one.
Well, you know, there are a few politicians I made mad that I know it's them that got said, hey, you need to boot this guy off of here. But, yeah.
So I know there's a bunch of military and veteran-related stories in the news. What do you got for us?
So I have one. This is a great story. It's a happy ending to some. Well, it's not happy, but it's a good ending. So there, back in Laos during Vietnam, there was a site, Site 85. It was a radar site. They called it Lima Site 85. It's a radar site on top of a 6,000-foot mountain in Laos. And of course, we weren't in Laos, right? So everybody knows by now that we weren't in Laos, but we were. So they had a radar site up there, and there was a group of men that manned this site. Well, the enemy was after this site forever because it was just wreaking havoc on them. So there were 18 guys up there, and they got overrun. And the communists that overran them, they killed just about everybody. There were, let's see, I think, if I recall, there were 18 up there. I think 5 got rescued, and no, 8 got rescued, and 11 of them died. Well, after they rescued those last guys from the clutches of the communists as they were overrunning the mountaintop, we went back and we bombed that site 95 times because of all the secret stuff that was up there. Well, we had 11 people still there that were dead, and their remains were there, and we bombed it 95 times, so probably not going to find much remains of those people. Except they did. They identified some remains of U.S. Air Force Sergeant David Price. He was 26 at the time. He's from Centralia, Washington. And the POW MIA accounting agency that goes out to all these battlefields and looks for the remains of Americans, they found him. And so they brought him back. He died in 1968. And so
where did they find him?
On top of that mountain.
In what kind of condition?
Well, you know.
Wow.
So it may not be a lot of him, but they identified some of the remains. So
that's great news.
So they will bring those back, and they will give him, even if it's a fingernail, they will give him a full military honors at his burial. But yeah, it's a great story, and I got just a little bit more of that when we come back.
That sounds good. We'll be right back.
With Howard Kurtz.
President Biden looked older somehow as he addressed the country from the Oval Office last night, 3 days after a posting saying he would not run for re-election. And even though he, to some extent, gave in to a media and Democratic Party pressure campaign, you do have to give him credit walking away from the job that he spent 50 years trying to earn. And he kept talking about the saving democracy, which was a pretty thinly veiled way of saying it's on the line. We have to keep it out of the hands of Donald Trump. And of course, he praised Kamala Harris, who is now the nominee. Now, the president didn't really fully explain things except for this. He wanted to serve notice that he's still president for 6 more months. He's going to work on all these things. Now, of course, he's a lame duck and Congress doesn't do anything in the final months of an election. But it was a coda to a career, like him or not, in which Joe Biden made some history. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's David Noble and George Blackard. George was just telling a story about some old stories out of Laos, and what was sort of the conclusion of that?
Yeah, so they found the remains of Air Force Staff Sergeant David Price, 26 of Centralia, Washington, at the top of this radar site, Lima Site 85. It was a highly classified, covert, tactical navigation radar site. And so that now they have identified those remains and brought them back. So they've repatriated him home. So it's very interesting. You can go on Netflix, and there is a series called Medal of Honor that highlights and recreates different instances where people have earned the Medal of Honor. Well, when these the enemy overran this radar site, Lima Site 85, there was one gentleman, Command Sergeant Richard Etchberger. He received the Air Force Cross posthumously, so he died up there on top of the mountain. He received the Air Force Cross after this was declassified many, many years later. They upgraded that to the Medal of Honor. And you can go on Netflix, watch Medal of Honor, and you can find the episode that talks about this mountaintop and when it got overran and everything. So there's a lot of history there. A lot of amazing things happened there. So check it out. It's really, really good. And that's a great series for people that are interested in that type of thing.
So is the government of Laos, did they find this and they're working with the U.S. government to get the remains back? Or?
So the way this happens usually is, like in this instance, we knew there were 11 people that didn't come back off the top of that mountain. So the Defense POW MIA accounting agency, that would be a target for them because they know there's people that didn't come back. So they would go there and they search around, and it's just archaeology, and you find the smallest bits that you can a lot of times. Sometimes, you know, they'll find an intact skeleton maybe, but they do that with help from foreign governments. And a lot of times it's people, civilians, that will find these things, like a plane crash in the middle of the jungle, and they'll report that. And then it goes, you know, down the line, and finally somebody gets over there. So, yeah, it's those governments helping us. It's this POWMI accounting agency that does this. And, you know, this one is a pretty cool story, you know, especially after they bombed that mountaintop 95 times. You know, that makes the chances of you finding remains pretty slim.
Right. No, that is great. And was this reported by the Military Times or what?
This was military.com, so okay. You can go there and read that story there. Yep.
Well, that is great news. You know, we were talking during the break, and I was talking about how I just love reading some of these stories about some of the heroic acts our members in the military have done. And, of course, a civilian like me, you know, I can only hope that I would act the same way, but you never know until you're in that situation. And so, man, I just have so much respect for these folks that engage in that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. And, you know, something I used to do, because, you know, I love living in this country. I'm proud to be an American. I think it's the greatest place on the planet. But even I need some inspiration every now and then. And so you can go to this website. It's CMOHS, Charlie Mike Oscar Hotel Sierra, CMOHS.org. It's the Congressional Medal of Honor Society. And you can go there and read the citation for everybody that received the Medal of Honor. And you can go in there and read why they got it. And it's an incredible site to go in there and read one. And I used to read one of these every morning before I went to work as just inspiration to, you know.
Yeah, you know what I did for my stepdaughter on Memorial Day this year, just a couple months ago in May, is Aaron Flint had talked about there was a Montanan that had passed away serving his country in Iraq and had received the Medal of Honor, and I'm drawing a blank on his name right now, but there was a story about him as well. And what I did for my stepdaughter is I read her that story of what that military member did and what he did, and he ended up dying and he earned the Medal of Honor. And I told my stepdaughter, this is why we celebrate Memorial, or this is why we not celebrate Memorial Day, but recognize Memorial Day and honor the sacrifice of our military members, because he died during, and I read her the story of how he died and what he did, and he died so that we could be safe and secure and have our freedoms here. And that's what Memorial Day is all about. And I think it was like, wow, she finally understood what Memorial Day is.
Right. Yeah, that's Travis Atkins.
That's right, Travis Atkins. Yeah. Yep.
So there have been 9 Medal of Honor recipients from Montana. And one of them, Donald Rule. So if you drive up to Columbus, you'll see out on the interstate the Donald Rule Memorial Highway. They have a section that's named after him. His Medal of Honor is actually at the Marine Corps Reserve Center here in Billings. They have a display case there with his story and
is that like
things.
Is that in the entryway?
In the entryway, yeah.
And can anybody walk into the entryway or no?
I don't want the Marines thinking, and I sent all these people over there, but
it's the entryway, it might be open to the public.
Oh, they could walk in and see it. It's right there in the foyer, but yeah.
That's cool.
So Donald Rule, when he received his Medal of Honor, he was fighting the Japanese in the Pacific, and you know, like the Marines did, and it was brutal there. And he was on top of like a concrete bunker, if I remember the story right. I'm pretty close. And the Japanese, somebody threw a grenade up there, and he jumped on it and took the brunt of the explosion to save his buddies that were with him. So that is, you know, one of the oldest type of stories of valor, is jumping on a bomb or a grenade to save those people that are standing around you. Just such selfless sacrifice to do that, you know. And I think they do that instinctively, and they do that because of their training, and it's amazing though. I don't know. Well, I don't know if I could do it.
You saw the same stuff out of the guy at the Trump rally that jumped on top of his wife and child to protect them from bullets and ended up getting shot and died. Yeah.
Yeah. And absolutely. And that says a lot about his character. You know, he jumped on top of his wife and kids to make sure that they didn't get hit. And that's character.
Right.
You know.
So there's also some stories out there about how China and Russia were operating jets and bombers on a joint air patrol 200 miles off the coast of Alaska for the first time ever.
That's basically over Alaska.
Yeah.
Yeah. So right now, this is a time when foreign governments are going to flex their muscles, and they're going to do things like that. They're going to fly into our airspace or close to it. One, just to get a reaction out of us. And here's the thing. So these are games that they're playing.
Right.
But they're dangerous games, because we do respond to those, and we do scramble jets, and they go up there and they escort them away from our airspace.
Yeah,
right?
they say that they meet presence with presence.
There you go.
That's how they say
it. Yes. But, you know, those are people up there flying these things. Accidents happen. People make mistakes.
And they're armed. And you've got Russian and Chinese jet fighters and bombers with missiles and bombs on them.
Yes, because we don't know for sure whether it's a real thing or not. So those pilots have to treat it like it is real. And, you know, this type of stuff has been happening forever. But because we have a weak government, a weak leader, weak president, not a leader, representative, then they're going to flex their muscles and they're going to do things like this. And, you know, I don't care if you like Donald Trump or not. I'm not crazy about the guy, except I do know this. He signed more peace agreements in the Middle East than anybody in the history of the world.
And China China and Russia were not acting as aggressively.
Right, because they react to that. And so it's so important when the U.S. has a president elected. It's important because it affects the rest of the world. And people stand down, things get more peaceful, or they do the opposite. And right now, it's the opposite.
Right, and we're not even suggesting that we should have shot down the fighters. Like that's not the response. And you're right, it is a game and it's complicated. And I think that they do it now for the same reason that Russia invaded Georgia, South Ossetia, and Abkhazia in 2008 at the height of the presidential campaign in 2008. They do it at the height of a presidential campaign because they know that there's likely not to be an aggressive reaction from the United States. And then it's established what happened there as somehow acceptable because they did it at this time when we didn't respond. And of course, the reality is that you don't respond by shooting the jets down, but you do respond by trade sanctions, trade barriers, all sorts of other stuff. We'll be right back.
Say yes to summer and get cash back on many of your favorite brands with PayPal. Say yes to those pink flamingo floaties you've been eyeing online. Get them and make a splash with that cash back. Say yes to the third barbecue in a row this week. Grill up those burgers and earn that extra cheese. Say yes to that last-minute road trip. You deserve it. Pay at the pump and fuel up your wallet with PayPal. Say yes to summertime fun and all the cash back that PayPal has to offer. Download the PayPal app. Redeem points for cash and other options. Terms apply.
Fox News commentary.
Tennessee Rep. Andy Ogles filed articles of impeachment against Kamala Harris, but I fear this could backfire big time. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
I'm Dana Perino, co-host of The Five and co-anchor of America's Newsroom. Join me for my podcast, Perino on Politics. Every Monday, I'm going to talk to people I trust in politics as they tell me what they're seeing and thinking in the 2024 election cycle. This week, I'm joined by Fox News Radio political analyst and editor-in-chief of Jewish Insider, Josh Kroshar, as we look at the historic reshaping of the 2024 presidential race. Available now on Apple, Spotify, and FoxNewsPodcast.com.
Tennessee Rep. Andy Ogles is already taking jabs at VP and presumptive Democrat nominee Kamala Harris. He filed articles of impeachment against Harris for her failures as border czar, as well as her alleged cover-up of Joe Biden's physical and mental health, arguing she helped to willfully mislead the American people. That's not all. Ogles is also calling on Harris to invoke the 25th Amendment to remove Joe Biden from office. While I do not disagree with the premise of his impeachment attempt or the cognitive failings of Joe Biden, I do worry this whole dog and pony show could backfire on Republicans. Any impeachment attempt on Kamala Harris is sure to fail, and all it does is give Democrats more energy and enthusiasm to watch Republicans freak out over her new candidacy. You know, this might play well for headlines and for spotlight, but I don't think it does anything to help Trump or any Republican get elected in November. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. If you're hit by sticker shock at the pharmacy, there's always ways that you can save on your prescription meds. First, try talking to your doctor. If you have trouble affording your medication, ask your physician if there are less pricey drugs or generics that work just as well. And check your health insurance plan for discounts tied to certain pharmacies. Many are inside supermarkets like Kroger, Albertsons, and Publix, and stores like Target and Walmart. Drug prices are lower at preferred pharmacies because insurance companies negotiate prices with them. And if you take medication on a regular basis, get to know your insurance plan's drug formulary. It tells you and your doctor what price category or tier a certain drug is in and what it will cost you out of pocket. This is another good way to compare benefits and cost if you're thinking about switching health insurance plans. And try buying in bulk. If you take daily medications, you might get a big discount when you stock up. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
Hey, coming up on Friday's Montana Talks, I'm going to be posted up at the Meadow Lake Golf Course in Columbia Falls just for the early morning hours. I'll be doing some recorded interviews for some of the folks that are in the Flathead for the Governor's Cup Golf Tournament. Meantime, David Noble is going to be filling in back in the studios, taking your phone calls, giving his great insight, and much more. And then on Monday, I'll be back in
V-A-G-E, Breathe Easy, brought to you from the Montana Hot Springs Spa, home of the only saltwater hot tub in Montana studios.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
George Blackard and David Noble. Go ahead, George.
So you were talking about how they flew close to Alaska, right? And we scrambled jets and went up. Does everybody remember the balloon that we let cross our entire continent without doing anything? And then when it hits the Pacific Ocean, we shoot it down finally. And John Tester crowed about that as some sort of giant victory. You know, that's ridiculous. But apparently spy balloons are okay. Bombers are not. I don't know where you draw the line there.
Right. I mean, maybe the fact that they sent the bombers was because we didn't shoot down the balloon.
Exactly.
If we had shot down the balloon before it ever entered U.S. airspace and we had sent the message that China, don't you ever send anything ever even close to being in our airspace again, or we will shoot it down just like we shot this balloon down.
Right.
Maybe then we wouldn't have seen that happen.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Hey, I got another cool story. So there was a first this week. The first naval aviator becomes first woman pilot to secure air-to-air victory in combat. She was the pilot of an F-18 Super Hornet, which are very awesome jets. They're very cool. And she shot down a drone that was launched by Houthi rebels in Yemen. It was targeting civilian commercial vessels in the Red Sea. So congratulations to her. I think that is incredible. She was with, they didn't release her name, because that kind of puts a target on them. So she's going to have to go unknown for a little while until things calm down. But she was part of Squadron VFA 32, the Fighting Swordsman. And they're from the, currently deployed to the Dwight D. Eisenhower aircraft carrier out of Naval Station Norfolk.
So, in other words, our U.S. military right now is engaged in active combat in the Middle East.
Yes, we are going to be there to protect those civilian craft, just like they did there, the commercial shipping and those civilians. And, you know, we talk about it all the time. War is dangerous. You train like you go to war, so training is dangerous. And, you know, it's 24/7, and we have people out there doing things that we have no idea what they're doing to keep us safe, to keep our country safe, taking out threats that we'll never hear of. And this happens. It does happen. So, you know, my hat's off to those men and women that are out there doing this year-round, unrecognized, quietly, keeping us all safe. So, yeah, it happens all the time.
Amen to that. Let's go to Bill in Billings. Bill, thanks for calling.
Well, good morning, guys. You know, a couple nights ago, I did watch old Biden read the teleprompter for 10 minutes. And it dawned on me, you know, for 9 years now, I've seen the corporate media and the liberal Democrats call Donald Trump every filthy name in the book. Never mention his policies, but just name calling. And I know that's because they're up next to God in their ivory towers. They have such moral superiority, but they missed a chance. During his presentation there in the Oval Office, what they should have done to really make it more exciting and highlight their moral superiority, they should have had in the background Bill Clinton getting another Lewinsky. It would have just highlighted their moral superiority. Have a great day, guys.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate the call.
I get the joke there. So
I don't get it. Oh. Do you want to explain it?
No? I can't. No, I can't explain that.
My thought
not on the air.
My thought was, you know, the arrogance of the left, the arrogance of the Democrats is one of the most off-putting things about them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think the arrogance of all politicians is the most off-putting. And let me just say this before we go: quit spamming my phone. I don't want texts from you. I don't care who you are.
Seconded.
Stop it.
Seconded. Thank you so much, George.
Thank you.